kids and studying the Word of God and playing a bunch of really cool games and going down a really big water slide and wondering what it was that crawled under your bed in the middle of the night. There's just nothing like church camp. If you've ever experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we just had a great time with our kids this week. I don't know if there's any who helped who went to church camp this morning. There's a few. So thank you for your service, from cooking to cleaning to security, all sorts of different things. The theme this year was an escape room. You'll see some orange shirts with escape. They're not from from like a jail. It's more of an escape room. Okay, so we just need to throw that out there. But that was the theme. We looked at escaping the ordinary life that can trap us through worries and doubts and fears and sin, and allowing God to break us out to live extraordinary lives, the abundant life that He offers. The verse that you will see on the back of our t-shirts, Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It is the age-old truth that still applies to each of our lives today. There are two kingdoms at war with each other. The kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan and his demons. And we know that his goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy everyone that he can. And through different means, custom tailored to each one of us. He attempts to steal the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. He wants to steal our love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. He wants to kill all the goodness in us and gentleness and self-control so that we will all be destroyed and left with nothing but ashes of regret and hurt and pain. This is the kingdom that we are up against. And on the other side is the kingdom of Jesus, the Son of God's love. And He offers to give each one of us abundant life to the fullest by forgiving us our sins and giving us right standing before God. He walks us through struggles. While He often does not take them away, He helps us deal with difficulties much differently. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so, with escaping the ordinary in mind, today we're going to look at three Bible stories. A couple of them may be very familiar to you that we looked at this week. And you'll notice in your outline, we started Monday morning with the story of Jonah. Number one is breakout from disobedience. Breakout from disobedience. Likely know the story. It's probably one of your favorites, one of our favorites. Jonah was a prophet called by God and given a message by God for the people of Nineveh. The message was, God is going to destroy you because of your wickedness. Now, Nineveh was 500 miles east of Jonah, close to modern-day Turkey and Iraq. And they were Israel's sworn enemies. And so Jonah decided to get on a boat and go 2,000 miles west instead. And while on the boat, this great storm came. Now the crew were all terrified, and meanwhile Jonah is asleep below deck. When the crew woke him up, they said, listen, pray to your God, see if he'll help us. And the Bible says they cast lots to see who had caused this disaster, and Jonah stood up and said, listen, it was me. I'm running from God. If you will throw me overboard, then the storm will stop. And reluctantly they did, and the storm did stop. Jonah 1:17 says this, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I have never been in the belly of a fish before. But apparently, it's a really good place to evaluate the direction that your life is going. And that's exactly what Jonah did. He prayed to God, and so the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish puked him out on dry land. Now, Jonah likely went and got a shower, but he went immediately to Nineveh. And it was a big place. It took him 3 days to get through it, but all along he was preaching the Lord's message. God's wrath is coming. Destruction is coming because of your wicked hearts. Your evil is bringing destruction in 40 days. And the Bible says that the people of Nineveh listened to God. They took him at his word. They fasted. They put on sackcloth. They even put sackcloth on the animals. It was a sign of repentance. And God, seeing their repentance, relented his wrath and spared the people of Nineveh. Now, Jonah's just a really short book, but we learn a lot about Jonah. Apparently, he was ready to watch some destruction because the Bible says he was displeased with God's mercy. So much so that he said he wanted to die. It's right there in chapter 4. And so not only did Jonah run from God, but he also had zero compassion and desire to see God's mercy play out in others' lives. We can easily see Jonah's flaws, but I can easily relate. See, Jonah had a rebellious heart. Rebellion is defined as opposition to authority. And any time that we tell God no, no matter what the reason, we are guilty of rebellion. Sometimes it's because of our pride. Sometimes we think, well, this task is just too difficult. Sometimes, like Jonah, we just have a lack of compassion. I'm capable of all of these. But either way, our rebellion makes us blind to the truth of our disobedience. God has a way of interrupting our lives and interrupting our rebellion, just like he did with Jonah. Verse 4, chapter 1 says, "The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up." We see that God was in control the entire time. And he sent this storm to Jonah, not because he hated Jonah and just wanted to get him, but because he was pursuing him. You can write that down. God sent this storm, not because he hated Jonah, but because he was pursuing him. Sometimes the storms that we face are caused by rebellion. Sometimes they're not. And the way we can tell is by asking the Lord to check our hearts often. But we can be sure, either way, however the storm, whatever reason for the storm that you're going through in your life is not God hating you, but that he is right there pursuing you and walking with you each and every step of the way. We cannot imagine spending 3 days inside a fish. The only way Jonah was finally able to break out was to finally acknowledge and follow God's plan. We were able to tell our kids this week, you know, God has a plan for every one of your lives. It's one that we discover through his word, through confession, through not allowing rebellion to rule in our lives. See, storms can send us towards God, or they can send us away from God, but the choice is ours. But you can write this down, the next blanks on your outline. We can trust God's plan. Now, that sounds like a very Sunday school answer, but that's the truth. Can you hear it with actually spiritual ears? We can trust God's plan. You can trust God's plan. He is pursuing you. He is walking with you, no matter what the cause of the storm is in your life. And that's a lesson that's not just for kids at camp. What do you learn through the story of Jonah about the storm you're going through, about God's plan for you, about anything else? Colossians 1:13, he has saved us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Monday night, we looked at a story of forgiveness in David's life, found in 1 Samuel 24. Break out from unforgiveness, number 2 on your outline. Now, this story all starts with King Saul, Israel's first king. Now, God had originally planned that God would be Israel's leader, but 1 Samuel 8:20 tells us that the people rejected God's leadership and asked for a king they could see because they wanted to be just like every other nation. And so, God obliged. He gave them a man after their own heart in King Saul. Now, Saul stood out from the others in his looks. He was skilled in combat, but it doesn't take long for us to see his character flaws because they become quite evident. Chapter 13, before he went into battle, he was waiting for Samuel, the priest, to come and offer a sacrifice, and he soon became impatient, and so he offered the sacrifice himself, something that by God's instructions only the priest was allowed to do. And so we began to see that Saul had a disregard for the word of God. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 14, he made this rash oath that any of his soldiers that ate anything before the battle was done that day would be killed. And as it turns out, his son Jonathan did. And Saul was willing to keep his oath to follow through until the people stood up and wouldn't allow it. Chapter 15, Saul again disregarded the word of God by not fully obeying his instructions to destroy all the enemies that they had just defeated. And that was the last straw. God had had enough. And so he rejected Saul as king. And in the next chapter, he chose David, a man after his own heart. And David began to rise to the top. Chapter 17, he fought Goliath and defeated Goliath. And all the people took notice. And from what we know of King Saul, none of us will be surprised that David's rise to fame sent him into a tailspin of resentment and hatred of David. In chapter 19, he put a hit on his life and even tried to take it himself. He threw his spear, trying to pin him to the wall. He put watchers at David's house with instructions to kill him. And when David escaped, Saul pursued him. He hunted him down. He attempted to kill him for several years. He even killed some priests who helped David. And so for years, David ran for his life from Saul. One such occasion, David found himself hiding in a cave. This is in chapter 24. It happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. And so he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Now, David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. And then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemies into your hand, that you may do with them as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. Saul got up from the cave and went on his way." Verse 8, "David also arose afterwards. He went out of the cave and he called to Saul, saying, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch my hand against the Lord, my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you." Verse 16. And so it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that he said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. You have shown this day how you have dealt with me, dealt well with me. When the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me." Okay, so if you were in a similar situation, what would be your response, your reaction? It's not likely that anyone is hunting us down, thankfully. We don't fear for our lives. But if you were in a similar situation where you had the opportunity to avenge yourself against someone who had done you wrong, would you take it? It could be in the form of hurting someone, slandering them, ripping them off, or just nursing unforgiveness and hatred towards them. Or would you, like David, offer forgiveness and mercy? See, David was a man after God's own heart for many reasons. He was teachable. He was humble. He trusted God. All results of his close relationship with God. The next blank's on your outline. David was a man after God's own heart because of his close relationship with God. He knew him on a personal level. He had experienced his moving in his life. He had heard his voice. He had followed his instructions. He had seen his protection. He had watched as God had fought his battles. He knew the love of God, and because it was ingrained in his soul, he continued to trust, even when everyone around him wanted him to take matters into his own hands. See, most of us want to take matters into our own hands. Don't we know that that is something that never works out well? It's a result of a lack of trust. But because David was loved by God, he was able to show the love of God to Saul, even though he didn't deserve it. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Some manuscripts leave out him. We love because he first loved us. One of the ways that we love is by showing forgiveness even to those who have hurt us. It's a subject that has come up a lot here lately. Maybe the Lord is trying to get through some of our hard hearts. Is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive? Is there a situation that God is calling you to trust him and his timing? Colossians 1:13, he has saved us from the kingdom of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. See, the kingdom of darkness, Satan wants us to live in disobedience and unforgiveness, so that he can steal, kill, and destroy our lives. But on the other hand, Jesus wants to bring us into forgiveness and obedience, and experience all those fruits of the Spirit Satan loves to steal. What's your favorite fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Mine is peace. Satan loves to steal my peace. What has he tried to steal from you? Could it be because of some untrust in your life? Continue with number three. Break out from compromise. Break out from compromise. It's one of the greatest escape stories of the Old Testament. Daniel was an immigrant exiled to Babylon who rose to leadership rather quickly. He had a God-given wisdom that his contemporaries did not have, and the locals hated him for it. And so they began to develop a plan to take him out, to kill him. Now, it didn't take them long to realize the only thing they would be able to catch him in was loyalty to his God. And so they tricked King Darius into making it illegal for Daniel to worship the one true God, and if he did, he would be sent into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives of Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. When the king heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. But he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men approached the king and said to him, now, king, know, king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. And so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, saying, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose of concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now, the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early the next morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. The king was exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take him up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. A great story. Again, one of our favorites. We see so many times throughout Scripture. Obedience to God's instructions often bring tests of faith. With Jonah, it was disobedience that brought the storm, but with Daniel, it's obedience. And if we're remaining close to the Father, we will know the difference. In these situations, the road to compromise is very easy. See, Daniel could have changed his habits. He could have left the window closed. He could have gotten up in the middle of the night when no one was watching and prayed, but he didn't because of his commitment to the Lord. Now, these lions, they were hungry. They would have been deprived of food so that they would have attacked viciously anything that came close. There was absolutely nothing Daniel could do in his own strength to break out of this situation. Nothing but trust God. When he did, God showed up like only God could. We did an activity with our kids this week where we divided them up into and broke the story down and did a character analysis of 4 different people. Darius, the governors, Daniel, and God. And so each group read the story and just wrote down what they found out about each character. Now, I happen to be in the God group. And something that we noticed, it took God a long time to show up in this story. I mean, there were definitely opportunities for him to otherwise. He could have taken out the governors. He could have intervened with the king. He could have done a lot of different things, but he didn't. And so, Daniel ended up in the den of a bunch of hungry lions. But when God did show up, we learned so much about him. Verse 20, he is the living God. No other God can say that. he delivers. Verse 21, he sent his angels to shut the mouths of lions. So what we see is, even though Daniel did face the lions because he didn't compromise, Daniel learned much about God that he would have missed if he had taken matters into his own hands. These are tough lessons. Tough lessons for us to learn and need to relearn them. But the last blank's on your outline. Sometimes we just have to wait for God to show up. But when he does, we see him do what only he can. When God does show up, his timing is not our timing, but it's perfect. When he does show up, he does what only he can. So if there is a situation in your life that you are tempted to compromise, it is very possible that God is allowing it in your life as a test to see if you're going to trust him through it and be obedient, or if you're just going to go along with the crowd and take the easy road. Decide to take the easy road, you will miss God showing up like only God can as he fights the battles that only he can win and shows himself powerful in your life. Church, this is the truth of God's word, even in these familiar stories. I wonder, what situation are you currently trying to take control of in your own life? What situations do you currently you're struggling to trust God? You don't like how he's handling it. You don't like his timing, and so you're tempted to take matters into your own hands. Maybe you're tempted to compromise. Daniel's story reminds us that God is in control. Even when it doesn't seem like he's ever going to show up, God is in control, and life is better when we live it like we actually believe that is true. Colossians 1:13, one more time. And he, that's God, has saved us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Conveyed, it's a word that means brought from one place to another, to change situations or places. So from the power of darkness, ruled by Satan, to the kingdom of the Son that he loves, that's Jesus. Look at verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The reason why we have church camp, the reason why we're here today, and every week after week, is because of Jesus, what he has done to set us free. Condemned to a brutal death by the religious leaders who completely missed him, he took the beating and the mocking and the scourging. He let his captors nail him to the cross. He died the death that each one of us deserves because of our sin. And that's why Jesus sent him as a baby, to take away the sins of the world, including yours, including mine. And through his sinless, perfect blood, we are made free. See, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more. When he hung on the cross, he took the wrath of God upon himself that I deserve so that I can be made right with God. This is the free gift of life that he offers to each one of us. Accepted by faith, which is more than just knowing about Jesus. It is trusting in him in the depths of your heart. He was buried in a tomb, but the most incredible escape in human history, 3 days later, he rose from the grave so that you and I can make our escape from death to life through his blood. From ordinary to extraordinary. Can all be set free by admitting that we are sinners, believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the one and only Son of God, and confessing him as Lord of our lives. You bow your heads with me. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to your heart claim the promise that his word will not return void. Even his familiar word, the stories that we've heard over and over and over again. Or were you reminded from the truth of these Old Testament stories? Is there a situation that you're trying to take control? You're having a hard time trusting in God's plan. Would you just acknowledge that? Tell him in your heart, Lord, I am struggling here. If you're guilty of trying to take things into your own hands or guilty of disobedience, would you confess that? We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you confess it, God is done with it. He's not going to bring it up later. That's the voice of Satan that wants you to live in the past and shame and guilt. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He gives abundant life. Though the struggle is real, God for his mercy. Lord, we invite you to come here this morning. Lord, needing you. Lord, as I look around the room, I know some of the stories. I know some of the struggles. I know some of the storms that are going on right now. And Lord, all of us, we're not in the midst of a storm. A storm is coming. God, help us to trust. Help us to trust in your timing. Lord, help us, give us the strength to not take things into our own hands. Lord, as different families around the room, they're dealing with cancer. God, I pray for healing. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for healing. Lord, that through this storm that affects so many, God, that you would show up and do what only you can do. Lord, that each one of these families would see your hand of grace and mercy and power. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Lord, for others who are just going through life, God, help us to trust you. God, help us to live for you. Lord, help us not to live like we're still of the kingdom of darkness. Help us to live in the light of Jesus Christ. Saved us from our sins. Oh God, we need you. With us as we leave this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for listening to these old stories. I trust that the Word of God has spoken to your heart. One announcement that's coming on in the second service. Summer is just a really expensive time for the church with electric bills and camps and all sorts of things. And so if the Lord leads you to give anything extra over these next weeks and months, please do. It's just one of those announcements nobody likes to make, but we're just trusting the Lord through all of this. Let's stand and be dismissed, okay? Tim, can you close us, brother?